Hey guys, welcome to Love People and Make Money. I'm Kelly McCauzy. I'm your host. I'm so glad I get to spend some time with you today. Before we jump into this episode, I do need to issue a profanity warning. I am swearing in this episode. I have marked the episode explicit, so I want to give you a little countdown so that if you have any little ears in the room and you're not wearing headphones, you can get those headphones on or find a time to listen when they're not around. So, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, no little ears, right? I've written a book with some co-authors, and the name of the book is Get Past Your Shit. Yeah, I'm going to say shit a lot in this episode and in the upcoming episodes where I'm interviewing my co-authors. I might even let the F word fly. So, yeah, that's why I have this little warning in the head of the episode. I'll put this warning on every episode where I swear. I don't always swear. So, you know. But this book, the name of the book is Get Past Your Shit. Yeah, you're going to hear the word. Shit means fears, insecurities, circumstances, limitations, perceived limitations, all the things you let stop you from doing what you want to do in your life and in your business. So rather than say fears, insecurities, circumstances, and perceived limitations, I just say shit. I'm inviting you through these interviews and through the book project to get past your shit. Whew! Let's go. Welcome to Love People and Make Money. I'm Kelly McCauzy. This is episode number 60. Do you know how many intros I've recorded for podcast episodes? Like thousands. Do you know how many podcast episodes I've actually published? Like 650 total, I think. Do you know how many times I hit record and start to talk and end up going blah, blah, blah. Delete, try again, blah, blah, blah. Delete, try again. There's just something about starting that triggers my worst verbal tendencies. And usually I'm doing it where someone can hear me flubbing up. My son, you know, when I first started podcasting, he was like 11 years old. And he would listen to me flub and flub and flub. And he would start giggling and that would make it worse. And now he's 30 and we share a home. So he still hears me sometimes. And I'll hear him snicker in the living room. Like, get it together, Mom. Anyways, just in case you thought you were the only one to flub and restart, you are not. It is the podcaster experience. Oh, I'm so glad to be spending time with you again. Oh my gosh, this has been the best season for podcasting, interviewing all my co-authors on the book project. Up next, my friend Val Selby. Let's go. Welcome back, everyone. I'm joined now by Val Selby of YourBoldLife.com. Hi, Val.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, my gosh. My listeners, much of my community, they know you. You've been around. You were my community projects manager for a year. You were most recently team leader of Team Bold in the Stretch Yourself Challenge, which we must mention is for the second year in a row, the winning team. Mm-hmm.
Undefeated.
Congratulations. But for someone who's meeting you for the first time or someone who might not know what you're up to these days, what do you want people to know about you?
Well, I started Your Bold Life to help share all of the journey that I've been going on because once I started progressing through finding myself and setting the boundaries, the more I started talking to other women, the more I realized that nobody's talking about this stuff anymore, or anymore ever. So we're just cycling through the same garbage over and over and over again. So I leaned into one of my personality traits, which is sharing, and started bringing everybody in so everybody can just realize the fact that, you know what, we're all going through the same stuff. So let's talk about it.
So we've been talking a lot about how we all need mugs for certain things. Like, do you need a mug that says, like, I'm an oversharer?
I would love one that says that I'm oversharer, because thank goodness I stopped saying that about myself. I can remember apologizing before I'd write a post somewhere. I'm like, all right, I'm going to share too much, I'm sure. And then I'd be like, ramble. Like, why am I doing the whole, I'm sorry, but I'm going to do it anyways. It's such garbage. I'm not sorry. I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Well, you take, so if someone else says she's an oversharer, they roll their eyes, like, that person just always says so much. Well, now it's an insult. They're shaming the person. But when you say, hey, oversharer, here we go, like, you're just owning it. Like, yeah. I'm vulnerable, I'm transparent, I think out loud, I share my process, and mm-hmm. it's me. Mm-hmm. I like it.
I'm a verbal processor. And when the times that I have not done that, oh my gosh, I just go right into a super hidey hole and spin in circles, and I don't process anything.
Yeah.
I have to talk it out.
Yep.
And there's other people like that. So the more I have leaned into that, the more other people are like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
I can do that too.
I feel like there's a couple of, I have friends who have people in their lives who like to insult them. And being called an oversharer, or saying, oh, she's just addicted to drama, or she just wants attention. Like, those judgments are so much more about the person saying it than it is about the person it's being said about.
Oh, yeah, they're so uncomfortable. And what I've found is those are the people that usually are wanting to share more, but they won't, because they've had people in their life saying that it's not okay. So then they're telling other people that it's not okay, because that's the story in their head.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, it is okay. Come on. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. We're programmed computers to some degree. The ego side of our brain, self-protective, programmed. And this is how you do things right. This is how you do things wrong. And how awesome is it to just take a look and go, you know what? I don't really care for that programming. I'm gonna write some new code and think about it differently and own that, you know, being a verbal processor and sharing everything that I want to with the people I want to, it serves me. Mm-hmm. And if someone else is still holding programming that says that that's somehow wrong, that's their problem, mm-hmm. not yours.
Especially when I can go into the fact that, you know what, I'll start conversations with, you know what, I just have to get this out. I don't need feedback. I just need to get this stupidness out of my head, because I know it's stupid, but it's stuck in there.
I have a sibling, an older sibling who, when I was very young, I was in my teens, whenever I would talk about something bad that was happening, he would always groan and roll his eyes and be like, do we have to talk about it? Like, you know, can't you just let it go? And so, you know, for him, all I can make up about him from the perspective of damn near 40 years later is that by my sharing made him feel like he ought to do something about it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what made him uncomfortable. Like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know about it. Don't put this at my door. Like, it's not right to lay all your shit at someone else's door like this. And, you know, again, that's all about him. I wasn't looking for him to do anything about it. But
I went through years with my mom like that, because if I vented to her, like you just vent to a girlfriend about stupid stuff and then you let it go. You know, usually it's talking about the kids or, you know, a friend or something. And she would hold on to it, and she would hold it against that person for the longest time. And I was just like, now I can't even vent to her, because it's like, that was just a vent. Yeah. And you're holding it in as gospel. And it's like, no.
So what's most exciting for you in your content marketing? We're just finishing up the Stretch Yourself Challenge. You did a lot of content marketing. What have you enjoyed most?
I loved the repurposing that I did, that flip in my head where I took my lives and then I put them on YouTube, and then I made blog posts, and I just did the full round circle of everything. All of a sudden it was just like, wow, I get it. And look how easy this was to take this.
That is so cool. Like, how many people have done live streams lately where they just went live and now they're done and they moved on to the next topic? And it's like, oh, the opportunities you have left behind.
Well, and I know the fact that I wrote out, I followed the guide and I wrote it out and I wrote the different outlines, and it's like, all of a sudden you're looking at it and it's like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of really great content. What else can I do with this? Versus jumping on live willy-nilly, spewing stuff out, and then it's just gone.
Yeah. Yeah. There's probably another step that could be taken as well. When I think about that, if you look at my lovepeoplemakemoney.com/BSOS. This was back when Google Hangouts on Air were big. So I did 5 Google Hangouts on Air about bright, shiny object syndrome. Those are automatically on YouTube. I shared them to my blog. I also recorded a podcast that encompassed the whole thing. I wrote a blog post that encompassed the whole thing. Those are all interlinked. And then all of that content links to this landing page where I offer them. Actually, I did a webinar that went deeper into everything. And so they get the webinar replay, audio and text versions. And there's actually a couple of little bright, shiny object syndrome worksheets on there too. So there's always something else you can do with content.
Yeah. And I think, I know that's the next step, is to turn this into an opt-in for sure. I mean, it's just, there's too much information already written out just in the outlines.
Yeah.
To not repurpose it into a report or quiz, which is what I wanted to really work on. And link into everything.
Yeah. And I did the live streaming on Google Hangout on Air 6 years ago. This is blowing my mind.
It was
the year before Sean and Lisa got married. And so it's on my Trello board now that I want to go back to this do I want to circle back to this particular banner message and freshen it up and roll it out again? Because all the people I have exposure to today versus 6 years ago,
yeah,
there's an opportunity to just refresh the whole thing. All right, now I got distracted. Val, you're part of the book project.
No, I'm so nervous and excited all at the same time.
Get past your check.
The butterflies don't know what they're doing.
Val, why were you a yes to this project?
Because I've been a yes to everything lately. Honestly, it's just, I've been what if this is fun? What if this is cool? Why not try it? And I have wanted to write a book before, for a while, and this felt like the easy way to start that process of being a part of a collaboration instead of focus just on writing my own book, which seems so, so huge to undertake.
Yeah. Your chapter 13
No way. I have not opened it yet until I get the book, but that is insane because that has always been my lucky number.
Chapter 13, Permission to Speak at Vowel Volume. So we're trying to avoid too many spoilers
Yeah.
in these interviews. But and then, yeah, that's right. You're still like your books are supposed to be arriving on Monday. Maybe they'll surprise you earlier. You never know with Amazon.
And I have not even opened my document back up because I did not want to start judging myself on what I sent. I'm like, nope, I sent it, and the next time I'm gonna have it, it's gonna be in print.
It's so beautiful. I love these matte finished books. They feel so velvety. The other night, my granddaughter had a hold of this one. She was doing Banna White on the camera, so it's got a lot of fingerprints on it. But they're beautiful. When did you know you were a yes? Like, when was the moment when you were like, "Oh, damn, yes, I'm doing this"?
Oh my goodness, I don't even know. I was wishy-washy at first. I knew I wanted to be part of it, but it was so scary because I knew I was going to have to bring personal stories out. And then when you talked to me, I was just like, all right, yep. That was it. It's like, yep, I will absolutely throw myself out there. Because if I don't throw myself out there and tell my story and help other women feel comfortable with telling theirs, then I'm just being a hypocrite. I have to tell mine as well as hearing theirs is how I feel.
What was it like to work with Karen Crompton, our story coach?
Karen was amazing because I didn't know how to write it so that it flowed as a story. I'm used to writing blog posts. They're a little bit quicker, and they're definitely not that long. Or even an ebook is not going to be, in the same process. And so, I loved the fact that I could communicate with her, and she's like, "Just write it, and then let's look at it." And that took so much of the pressure off. She's just like, and the fact that I knew Karen, thankfully. I'd talked to her before, and so we could have that communication back and forth. She's just like, "I'm not gonna let you look stupid."
That's
And
the
I'm like,
promise.
"Oh my gosh, you are so right. What am I worried about? You're not gonna let my stuff look like garbage. You're gonna help me get my point out there and make it so that people do want to read it." So I loved working with her.
One of the best remarks sent to me by email, our friend Tara said, "This book is beautifully put together. The editing is exquisite. The writing style is consistent and lovely to read, makes it easy to keep reading and reading." And we have Karen to thank for that.
Yeah. I can't imagine flowing all of those stories so that they do read like smooth.
What did you gain from the experience of telling your story?
The fact that I'm okay to keep telling it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be out there for the entire world now, literally. Anybody can read that story at any time. So it doesn't even feel like it is even that shit in my back pocket anymore.
Yeah.
It's like that was just something that was the catalyst for what has created this, and it doesn't bother me anymore. I can absolutely let that go. I can definitely say that now. I can let that situation go and be a thank you for the fact that it happened. And if it hadn't happened, I might have still been cycling through the whole
Yeah.
self-doubt and all of that, the confidence and the people pleasing.
Yeah. There's a story I tell about myself that I've never hidden it. But different points in my life where I've shared it, I know I've shared it with a chip on my shoulder. Kind of a, I dare you to judge me. Go ahead, judge
Yeah.
me. But and the, I told it I shared the story in 2013 during a keynote message, and I bawled about it. I didn't have a chip on my shoulder anymore, but I was very aware that there were people who were going to judge me. But in telling it this time, fear of judgment has fallen away. It was a really beautiful sense of acceptance about myself and my choices. What do you want readers to gain from your story? What'd you like them to walk away with?
Oh, definitely the fact that so many of us are trying to change our personality to make other people feel comfortable. And that's never anything that's going to happen. There is never a point that the way you're acting will make somebody else feel comfortable, because there'll be something else, because they want to judge you for something. So why not lean into exactly who you are and attract those people who are attracted to you?
Yes. Yes. Val, thank you so much for being part of the book. Thank you for making time to talk with me today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me in the book and being here. I'm so excited to have it in my hands.
Hey, welcome back. Wrapping up this episode number 60. Of Love People and Make Money. It's time to go get the book. GetPastYourShit.com. Hey, do you already have it? Have you already read it? Would you do me the sweet, savory, good favor of leaving a review on Amazon? Just go back to where you bought the book and find the little button that invites you to leave the review. Tell us, what did you love best? Like, which story resonated with you the most? Every review helps, because there are people who know me and know the co-authors who they're buying the book just to be kind and supportive. But there are people out there who don't know any of us. They might run into this book and be intrigued, but not know why they should trust us. And your reviews help them decide to take a chance, not with $2.99, because it's $2.99. That's not a huge risk. So why should they take the chance with us, with their precious time and attention? The time given to read 19 stories is not insubstantial. So thank you for leaving reviews. And if you haven't yet, get your copy of the book. Come on back to getpastyourshit.com to claim your access to the group coaching intensive. Can't wait to do that with all of you. Thanks for spending this time with me. See you in the next episode. Bye now.